we entering a new era of cultural cringe? This month, Sydney University announced it will no longer have a chair of Australian literature. The role's being put on hold while the university looks for outside funding. The university statement emphasised that its commitment to teaching Australian literature, though it also said it had a number of other priorities when it came to hiring staff. The announcement caused consternation among academics who say it's part of a broader problem where international studies are taking precedence over Australian studies. As one academic told the Australian newspaper, those who fund research in Australia don't seem to regard the study of the nation as in the national interest. Ken Gelder is Professor of English and Theatre Studies at Melbourne University, also co-director of the university's Australian Centre, which he says is one of many Australian studies centres with a target on its back. Professor Gelder, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thank you. Hello.
How significant was that decision by Sydney University, do you say, to put the chair of Australian literature on hold?
Well, that's a very significant decision. It's not often that you would place any focused chair on hold, but this one comes at a particular moment, and that's a decision that a group of eight, a big research university in Australia has made about Australian literature.
Well, just to be clear, the students will still be able to study Australian literature at that university and at all other universities, but as I understand it, at a less endowed level. So is that the... And if that's the case, if I've got it right, why the outcry?
Nobody wants to be less endowed. This is about diminishing a field, really, and taking leadership away from that field. And actually, in consequence of that, really, making that field that bit less visible. And that might result in a number of things. It might result in less research leadership, might involve less claim on the field in terms of teaching and in terms of what we call at my university engagement, that is to say engagement with public spheres, public domains, people, media, and so on and so on. And it might mean that you end up just filling Australian literature up with whoever is around to teach it, that kind of thing. So it means that in all sorts of ways it runs the risk of being diminished.
And just let's define this field of Australian studies, because you and others say there's it's a more general malaise in this field. So what is it?
What is Australian studies? Mm. Well, so Australian literature is really part of this thing that we can call Australian studies. And we think of Australian studies as mostly being based, not exclusively, but mostly in what we call the humanities and the social sciences. And Australian studies really has four components. I think it's about culture and society and politics and economics. So culture and society take you into the humanities and cross over into the social sciences. Politics and economics more sort of grounded in the social sciences than the humanities. But there are connections between those four things, and they can reach out to all sorts of other disciplines, law, architecture and planning, the sciences, the biosciences, and so on. But that's their configuration, society, culture, politics, economics.
I mean, the argument is that it's more studied these days overseas than here. And as we've said before on Saturday Extra, I think there are 38 Australian studies centres in China.
Well, that's true. So China has a commitment to Australian studies for a lot of reasons. Of course, China has a commitment to Chinese studies. America has a commitment to American studies. Scotland has a commitment to Scottish studies, which is quite a different thing and sits differently in a university. In Australia, I don't think we can fairly say that we have a university commitment nationwide to Australian studies.
Why? I mean, what's happened?
Well, I think a lot of things have happened, really. I mean, one is to do with the universities in Australia and their imperative to internationalise. And that's an imperative that's been forced upon them in quite basic ways. So in terms of funding, when governments withdraw their funding from universities, as they've done, universities are then forced to you know, take their students from elsewhere, and that's in many ways that's a very, very good thing to do. And there's nothing wrong with internationalization. It's a very, very good imperative. But I heard my ex-Vice-Chancellor, Glyn Davies, saying on the radio just the other day that there's a certain truth in saying that East Asian students who come to Australia to study and pay fees to do so are funding positions in Australian universities for Australian students. That's the position we're in, just in terms of funding regimes. And so that means that Australian universities want to attract overseas students and need to attract overseas students, and internationalization there becomes a very important imperative. I should also say it's an important research imperative. We want our academics and our students to be internationalized, but in the process we run the risk of diminishing what we can call Australian studies in the way that American universities, if you think of the big universities especially, Berkeley, Yale, Princeton, Harvard, they have American studies teaching programs and research programs, and they're massively committed to that thing that they call over there American studies. You know, we don't have a comparable commitment to Australian studies at all in this country.
Just to go back to that idea of a malaise or lack of support, I mean, where do you specifically see this manifesting itself then?
Well, in a group of eight universities, which I suppose I know best, Australian studies is not taught anymore. So it's been pretty much laid to rest.
So funds are cut, are they? This is specific. It's swapped with money's going elsewhere and away from this area.
Well, when something isn't taught anymore, either funds are cut, yes, or else money goes elsewhere. So that's the Sydney University argument about the Australian Literature Chair, that Sydney University Arts Faculty has other priorities, as they put it. Mm. So that other priorities is the interesting thing, and you'd want to know a bit more about that, I guess. But Australian Studies is not really, it's not a particularly visible teaching emphasis in arts faculties, in particular in universities, especially the group of eight universities.
Now, you would have seen a recent article in the Canberra Times, I'd think, where two of the directors of the ANU's Australian Studies Centre, Paul Pickering and Mark Kenny, argued that this was being overblown, this claim about Australian universities sort of falling down on their obligations. They point to their own centre, established 2 years ago, as proof that there is still interest in the field. Now, what's your response to what they say?
Well, they have they quote the ANU strategic plan, which is that the ANU must innovate in research, teaching and learning and elevate our understanding of contemporary Australia and the world. And I really hope that that's true. And ANU has a lot of research institutes that work in the region and do all sorts of interesting things. The Australian Studies Institute at the ANU is new. I think it's very interesting. It hosts a lot of events and has speakers coming through doing various things. I don't know if it's connected to teaching. I don't think the ANU has an Australian Studies program that you could readily identify. I wish it well. I think we all wish it well. But in the meantime, Australian Studies centres, if we're talking about Australian Studies as a research program, have been closed at the University of Queensland, more recently at Monash University. I mean, flourishing Australian Studies centres have been closed down. And I think that's not a good sign.
I mean, a number of academics have pointed to the ranking system in university literature these days, which gives more space and merit to topics with an international focus, and that's how your research is measured. Maybe you could just briefly explain how that works, and is that having an effect on your field?
Well, I'll say two things about publications, if that's what you mean. Journals are ranked in terms of citations, the citations they get, the people who use them, really. And international journals, obviously, are going to be ranked much more highly than local regional journals like Australian journals. So we find that our Australian journals barely feature in international ranking systems. So we have to treat them as special cases, and then that means you have to step up to a university to make that special case. But I'll say something else. If you think about publishing in Australia, if you're an Australian writer and you're published by even an international publisher, that international publisher will only be able to distribute you in Australia. So Australian writing, literary writing, and that's also true, of course, of Australian publishers, they'll only distribute you in Australia. So a lot of writers in Australia are not able to circulate globally and compete globally. And we actually do have and continue to have that structural problem that Australian, in my case, Australian literature, which is what I think about, Australian literature is not able to step up to the international table. It's not allowed to. You know, there are exceptions, but it's not allowed to.
So it's carrying some weight in its saddlebags. I mean, do the French think like this, for instance, or the Germans?
No, they don't. They don't think like that. I mean, you know, in order to circulate globally, of course, you need to be published in a global language, and English is one of them. But that doesn't necessarily mean you will circulate globally. And some works, for example, lend themselves to translation far more readily than some others. So European countries, some European countries have advantages over Australia in terms of the capacity to circulate globally.
Oh, look, as a summation then, I mean, this just suggests that intellectual inquiry about our own fascinating, changing, volatile place has just dropped away and isn't being fostered by universities.
It's being done. I'm a scholar of Australian colonial writing and so on and so on. So lots of people out there do good, really good Australian work. But one of the things I would say about them is that they're dispersed. And then we don't have the organisational capacity. We're not investing in the organisational capacity to make their work more visible and to give it definition.
Okay, and I think a couple of the vice chancellors said, look, if we can underwrite a new chair, I think this was a Sydney University discussion, we will, if we can find new money, we will reinstate it. So do we need a new bunch of philanthropists who actually see the purpose in this?
Oh, well, you know, Australian universities do need philanthropists. Australia is not a great place for philanthropy compared to the United States or Canada for that matter. So, and when a government's withdrawing money from the university sector, as our governments have systematically done for some time now, you need to turn to philanthropy to help universities to do what they want to do and what they need to do. And so, yes, Australian fields of study could certainly do with some philanthropic support.
Very interesting discussion. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
And Professor Ken Gelder from the University of Melbourne. And I noticed that our producers pointed out to me in today's Australian, Michael Haywood, Managing Director of Text Publishing, has sort of thrown it down even further. What kind of country can't bear to teach its own literature? I mean, it's stark, somewhat rhetorical, but it's a pertinent question, I think.